I want to establish a base of biblical fact to build off of. In John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Speaking of Jesus Christ. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've had several conversations with different people that have brought this subject to mind. Zane had mentioned about 3 weeks ago, I think, that he was very grateful that he had been raised by Christian parents, and that he had been given examples of Christian living, moral values, and he was very thankful for that. This got my mind turning, and a couple of days later, I was on the road with one of our evangelists, and the subject came up again about how blessed we were. Yet, talking to another group of individuals while doing a Bible study, the subject of Thanksgiving came up. And I'm not talking about Thanksgiving as in the service. I'm talking about the secular holiday of Thanksgiving that was established a little over a couple hundred years ago. The subject turned to Christmas, Easter, and basically the commentary in general was from these individuals was that they were good things because it called to remembrance for many people God and what He had done for them, the great gifts that He had given. It called to mind Christ's sacrifice on the cross and His victory over death. And I can't disagree that that's a good thing, that it brings that to mind to people. And it made me think back to, I was about 11 or 12 years old, and I asked a wise man from Allison, Texas, Grandpa, I see we got 2 or 3 TV channels back then. Well, come Christmas, you know, these churches were holding services. They had Christmas trees and all kinds of decorations. And, that was their fashion of celebrating the birth of Christ. Likewise, saw similar things on Easter. Every Easter they played the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston on it. We watched it every year. And I asked him, I said, why don't we do that? Why don't we do that in the church? Why don't we celebrate Christ's birth on the 25th of December? Why don't we celebrate Easter? Why don't we celebrate Thanksgiving? And he basically told me, he said, you know, those specific dates, we were never commanded in the Bible to celebrate those specific dates. He said, but what do you think that all those holidays are supposed to mean? And I told him, I said, well, it's not all about getting presents, although I do like that. I said, it's supposed to be about remembering Christ. And it's supposed to be about thanking God for everything He's done for us. And he said, yeah, you're right. He said, that's what those things were basically originated for. He said, and we do that every time the church meets. Every time. He said, I never will forget this. He said, and we are commanded to do it every single day of our lives. If you got a Bible handy, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, read, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5, verses 17 through 20. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ. Found something interesting the other day. A guy pointed it out to me. Said that, did a poll of Christians in the United States, people who claim to be Christians, and asked them, throughout the year, do you give thanks before you sit down to a meal with your family? And 13% of them said, yeah. They asked them during Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter, do you say a prayer and thank God before those meals? 76% said yeah. It's kind of a sobering thought that most people who style themselves to be followers of Christ would be thankful a little bit over 10% of the time. You know, I kind of took a conglomeration of definitions from different dictionaries. The world says that gratitude is the quality of being thankful. It's associated with appreciation, indebtedness, humble thanks, being grateful. And you know what? They're pretty much in line with the Bible as far as that goes. For in the Bible we find that it's mentioned 139 times, as close as I can tell. And it's linked to humility, sincerity, joy, and peace. But one thing it does not involve is pride. It's exactly the opposite of pride. And if you look over there in Luke 18, we'll read one instance. Verses 10 through 14. This is Jesus speaking. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote himself on the breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see that? Pharisee, he wasn't thankful. He was prideful. He said, I thank you, Lord, but that was lip service. There's another instance over there in Luke 7, starting in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, speaking of Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this that toucheth him, for she is sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one ought 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he that whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. So we see that gratitude and thanks, as far as God is concerned, involves exactly zero pride. It's all about being grateful. It's all about being humble for the things we've received. And I sat down and made a rudimentary list of things that the ways that we are blessed. And when I had a hard time writing this thing down because it started growing so much, I thought, man, if I do this, they're never going to let me speak again because we're going to be here till 2 o'clock and I still ain't going to cover half of it. But I want to hit on a few areas in which we are extremely blessed and should be extremely thankful to God. Each and every one of us here have been gifted with life on this earth. We've been gifted with a soul. The Spirit of God, what a gift. We've been gifted with material things that sustain us here, with food, with clothing, with shelter, with these magnificent bodies that we have. You know, these, you know, the young brothers and sisters who run around playing sports, God gave you those gifts. Those of you that excel mentally, He gave you those gifts. You know, and I think about not everyone possesses the same gifts. Some gifts all of us have or we're eligible to get. But there are some things that some areas we are blessed in, such as family and friends. You know, I was raised in a godly family, and I'm thankful for that. I was blessed to be raised like that. Lord knows what would have been my end otherwise, because I came pretty close to finding out a time or two. But think about how blessed you are by your ancestors, your grandparents, your parents. Think about those of us who are blessed enough to have a loving spouse who supports you, who shares your difficulties and your joys. Think about the children that we've been blessed to have. What a great blessing. Think about all the friends and relations that we have been blessed with that help in this journey through life. Those are very, very great blessings. And I think about this nation that was founded on godly principles. Its laws were written based on biblical principles. For over 100 years, each session of Congress was opened up with a prayer. Now, we may be getting a little bit further away from that as a nation, but that's what this place was founded upon. This is a place where you can choose to worship God any way you want to, even if it's the wrong way. We live in a place where you can choose what type of employment you want to pursue. Whatever tickles your fancy, as long as it don't intrude upon another's liberty, you are blessed to have that option. We live in a nation that you can travel basically anywhere you want to travel. I mean, anybody that's been to another country, especially a third world country, can tell you that that is not the case. All these things that we're blessed with, these people don't have that type of option. I think about, for over 200 years, I think about the servicemen who have defended this country and ensured that we still have these rights. I think about those many who gave much, like Matt. I think about those who gave all so that we might enjoy what we have here. I think about all these blessings, how greatly we are blessed. What I'm about to say, I don't say to cause us to be puffed up with pride. I say it to stir up a humble remembrance of the blessings we have received by being members of the body of Christ, the church, specifically the church that meets here. You know, many of you have known several godly examples of the older people in this church. Many of them have passed on. Some of them are here, still here with us. And they've provided great examples for us. A great blessing. You know, in Romans 16:16 and four other verses, it talks about greeting the brothers with a holy kiss. In one place, it's referred to as the holy kiss of peace. The Greek word, which I couldn't even come close to pronouncing, what this basically means is a sign of unity, a sign of Christian brotherly love. I've never experienced that type of greeting that I receive here that has passed out abundantly over the years, and that is a very great blessing. The singing, great singing, very edifying singing, brings joy to your heart. You know, Dad's mom and dad. Well, you know, Grandpa Jack, he was the Baptist preacher here in Wheeler for years and years. And you know what they used to look forward to all the time? Having the family over there or coming to a singing, coming to our singings. As I asked Granny one time, why don't y'all just come to church? Why do y'all enjoy that singing so much? And she said, it's heartfelt. It comes from the heart. Great singing. We're blessed with that. Biblical teaching. And how many men that are willing in this church to stand up and take on their responsibilities to learn God's word and to spread it. It's a great blessing. The Lord's table, we're blessed to partake of the body and the blood on every first day of the week. Tremendous blessing, source of life. We're blessed to go to God in prayer according to the word and directions therein given. We are blessed with leadership that are pillars of strength. We are blessed to be a part of a congregation full of women that extol Christian virtues and teach their children by example and by word God's will. We have a congregation that assists the needy at every opportunity. I feel like these things, like I said, they're not a source of something to be puffed up with pride about, but it's a humbling thing to be a part of something that God has blessed us so richly with. I'd like to ask you a question. How many of you have ever been to prison? You know, prison is a place of punishment. But one of the main effects of prison, one of the most painful things about prison, is you are separated from your family and friends. You can't hug your mama. You can't see your kids grow up. It's separation. Well, I dare say that while not many of you have probably ever been to prison physically, I'll guarantee you that everybody here has been to prison and has been a prisoner of sin at one time or another. And there may be some here that are still prisoners of sin. You see, because sin and slavery walk hand in hand. And sin is a prison that serves to separate you from God, our Heavenly Father. Hell is a prison. Hell is the final prison. It's a place, we're told, of weeping and darkness and gnashing of teeth and ultimate and complete and final separation from God. That's hell. That's the final and ultimate prison. I would be remiss and in total error if we didn't talk about the key to escaping this prison of sin and preventing us from being incarcerated in hell for eternity. Just so happens that this key is the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind. It's the greatest gift that's ever been given to this world, and that's Jesus Christ. Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We've seen that this morning that we've got everything to be grateful for. Even when we're in our trials that test our faith, we're to be thankful.